Tired of months of protesting? How about 50 days of blessing?
Listen, when Benjamin Franklin was asked regarding the government that they were going to be giving to the American people, it was asked of him, "Mr. Franklin, what kind of government have you produced for us?" And Benjamin Franklin said, "A republic, if you can keep it." And that's the challenge today. Are we able to keep it? Are we willing to keep it?
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today we air part two of our two-part series with Michelle Bachmann, candidate for President of the United States in 2012. Coronavirus, racial unrest, and more have torn America and other parts of the world apart in 2020. Is there an answer to the chaos? We'll discuss that this hour. Here is today's program.
History has proven beyond any doubt that the free enterprise that freedom produces provides more for anyone willing to work than any other system. So why would the left still be pushing their socialist agenda on us? I mean, it's really just microwave communism. There's only two possibilities. They're either ignorant or they're evil. From my investigation over the last 2 years into what has caused America's drastic decline, I'm sorry to say the left won't be able to use the ignorant card. They've left too much evidence of their agenda in their books, articles, and speeches. No, America has an enemy that is getting very close to accomplishing its plan of destroying the greatest country in all world history.
Welcome back to the program. This is part two of a two-part series with my special guest, Michelle Bachmann, represented Minnesota's 6th District starting in 2007. She stepped down a few years ago now, but did run for President of the United States in 2012. We spent all last week looking at a number of issues, election-related, some of the efforts to swing the election with ballot harvesting and other fraudulent efforts on the part of the left, who seem desperate to, as Curtis Bowers said in that little clip I just played here, to affect and even destroy the greatest country on earth. As we also said last week in my Understanding the Times programming, obviously global government, according to Revelation 13, is on the horizon. The church is absent when that happens. So we are so late in the game. Last week's program was troubling, to say the least. Some of the efforts on the part of the left to steal an election certainly have never been more active than they are as we speak, and we gave some ways in which you can counter that. So what I wanted to do for this week's programming with Michelle is look at things from a more optimistic perspective. Michelle was very active in some of the prayer and repentance activities that went on in Washington. This would have been the very end of September. Some of you watched them on live stream, and my understanding is around the world there were literally millions of people watching these activities because they weren't just for America. They were prayer and repentance efforts that were reaching around the world. As a matter of fact, Michelle said to me that even Jews in Israel said, "We want to have an activity like this." In fact, Christians in America made the Jews jealous. Well, that is our assignment, folks. That happened back in late September. Michelle, welcome back to the program.
Jan, thank you so much. This is just a great series, and I count it a privilege to be here with you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Not quite sure where to start. Curtis said on my program that if the left gets into office here in January of 2021, they will accomplish more in a matter of weeks. It's taken them 100 years to do so far. They'll do in a matter of weeks as far as the destructive element goes. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with Curtis completely, and you and I had a conversation offline when I said that I believe that they're not kidding around anymore. They're not just going to try and be incremental. And I think that's why there is this all-out effort on process on the left side to make sure that they win all of these crucial offices, because I believe within 100 days of finally winning the presidency, they will put in every aspect of what they need to have in order to have the United States be transformed. What it was that Barack Obama wanted to achieve, I think they'll achieve it within the first 100 days.
Right.
And I think even up to and including rewriting the Constitution so that we become, in effect, a Marxist country. It won't be called that. They'll come up with a different name, but it'll be Marxism, and it'll be a denial of our freedom. This is where these people want to go. They really don't even blush anymore. They're out in the open. And this is something your listeners should understand, Jan. 4 years ago, there was an attempted coup by Barack Obama and CIA Director Brennan and DIA Director Clapper and different ones behind the scenes, including the FBI Director James Comey. We know this now. It's already been in various committee hearings that they attempted to wiretap using the federal government. This is prohibited in law. They embedded people in President Trump's campaign for the purpose of defeating him during the election. They failed, so they tried to defeat him in between the election and the inauguration. They failed, and they continue to try to defeat him after the inauguration by having these phony FISA warrants. So they were continuing to spy on the president while he was president because they wanted to come up with something so they could impeach him. This is an actual, by definition, coup. That was behind closed doors. What we're seeing now 4 years later, this isn't behind closed doors anymore.
True.
This is out in the open. They're trying to steal the election from the American people. They hate democracy. They want to deny us our true vote by faking a bunch of votes so that they can deny Donald Trump a second term in the White House because they're convinced this is their time. So once the left gets the power, they're not going to kid around anymore. They aren't going to waste their time on elections anymore. They're going to make sure that they stay in power for the foreseeable future. It happens in government after government, but it's totalitarian governments where that happens, not in governments like ours. They don't like our form of government. They want to hold on to power. They want to hold on to the money. They want to control our lives, and they're serious about it this time. And I think if they win the first 100 days in office, they'll rewrite all the rules of the game, and we will never have a free and fair election again, unless the Lord intervenes.
Unless the Lord intervenes. Just looking at pre-election throughout 2020, right through September here and even October, obviously we've got a lot of God haters in America, and a certain political party has no fondness of God. We have had Christians, including pastors here in the last 6, 7, 8 months, they've been arrested or they've been threatened with arrest. And it's been just shocking to see the attack on the church, and this is before our election. This has been with conservatives in office.
Yeah, this is overt because there's been an effort all year to keep churches closed, to keep Christians home, and to prevent us from having the kind of communication and fellowship that we normally have. So even as coronavirus has dropped dramatically in our state, it's dropped like about 50% the number of deaths and hospitalizations, which is a great thing. But yet that hasn't moved the heart of our governor. He wants to keep us locked down, and I think we all kind of know this, that they're waiting until after the election to open up America again. They want us locked down because coronavirus has been the pretext for the cheap-by-mail voting, for stealing this election. That's why they're keeping us locked down. They don't want Christians to be able to talk to each other. They don't want voter guides in churches so that the parishioners have an idea of where a candidate stands on the issues. If you notice, they aren't even talking about issues on the side of the left. They want to keep everything hidden so they can steal this election, and then off they go with a transformed America where we will never get an ability to be able to vote again. It's happened in country after country. This is not new.
That's
how they take over a country.
That's right.
But we need to realize this really is the existential election, which means will we exist in the form that we know it? America will still be here, we'll still be alive and breathing, but we will have lost our ability to govern ourselves because they're in the process of stealing it right now.
Folks, you need to hear part one of this two-part series. You can do that by going to the programming on my website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and just go to radio. You can get it at oneplace.com. You can find it on his channel, but my hunch is YouTube is not going to leave our video version of it up. I don't know that, but big tech is pretty much committed to getting a leftist in office. You do need to hear part one, because there we tried to unpack just how does voter fraud manifest? And we talked about that in detail. Clearly, it's going on in your hometown. And if you're in a swing state, I guarantee you it's going on. And how do you recognize it? How do you fight back? We talked about all of those things in part one. We wanted to make part two of our programming a whole lot more positive and upbeat. But having said that, I'm going to play just a little over a minute clip. And I want you to hear how the left is talking about our president. Then I want you to hear how Christians are behaving. And if you don't see the incredible contrast here of good versus evil, well, then I give up and you're going to vote for whoever you want to vote for. This is how the left is talking about our president. And then I'm going to come back, and Michelle and I promise we're going to be far more uplifting for the balance of the program.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices.
They go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take you behind the gym and
punch some people in the face.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
Folks, this is evil. If you intend to vote for that, you've got a problem. That's all I can say. You want to address that at all, Michelle?
We're seeing this ugliness everywhere.
Everywhere.
We're seeing it directed toward the president, but we're also just seeing it in our daily lives. People can attest to that. Now we're seeing graffiti written on our buildings. It's illegal to do that, but we're seeing ugliness in our cities, whether it's statues that have been tumbled. In Minnesota, our Christopher Columbus statue was pulled down. Our Democrat governor did nothing. He's not going to put it back up. Statues were pulled down, spray painted, defaced, and all of the carnage is still there. The filthiness is still left. In fact, I was here in D.C., and there's a statue that I ran into, and filthy language was written on it. I saw it yesterday afternoon. It was cleaned off, but you can still make out the filthy language. It will forever deface that incredible statue. I have never in my life heard the filthy language in 2020 that I have heard, and little children are hearing this. And now this is coming out of men's mouths, women's mouths, and it's coarsening our culture. It's bringing us down low to a base level. And this is all a part of what? This crazed frenzy? Because for whatever reason they can't even articulate, they hate Donald Trump. It's completely irrational.
Yeah, it's demonic.
On every possible
it's
metric.
It's demonic. At the same time, we've got 50 days of blessing going on. I'm going to have you talk a little bit about that. We had folks gather in Washington, D.C. This would have been end of September. Actually, you guys met when I was supposed to be holding my conference, September 26th, which we had to cancel because conditions in Minnesota are just not suitable to try to have a gathering of several thousand people. It just wouldn't have happened. A couple events, several as a matter of fact, went on end of September, and I want you to talk a little bit about them. I want you to talk about what 50 Days of Blessing would be all about, the return, which you were a part of, Franklin Graham's activity you were a part of. Now, folks, I said this is going to be more positive and optimistic because these things were a blessing. Millions were accessing these activities online. Michelle, talk to us a little bit about your activity with Franklin Graham because you were able to pray over Vice President Pence.
I was. These were historic events that took place at the end of September. And you're right, Jan, it was the very day that you were supposed to have your conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota. That was canceled. But what was put into place, and this wasn't years in the making, yeah. This actually came up fairly quickly. Franklin Graham was moved by what he saw happening in America's streets. And he told me personally, he said, this is very simple. He and I were standing in line waiting to go in and hear the president's acceptance speech on the South Lawn the last night of the Republican convention. We stood in line together for an hour, and he told me that he was having the March on Washington 2020. He said, it's very simple. All we're doing is calling believers to come to Washington, D.C. and pray. We're going to meet at the Lincoln Memorial. We'll make a couple of stops, but we're just walking the ground, reclaiming that ground for God, and we're going to confess our sins, we're going to pray, we're going to cry out to a holy God. It's all we can do. There was no big stage. There was no fancy microphone. There wasn't anything. It was just meeting and praying. So the night before we met, we had a dinner together with a smaller group. And he just laid it out that this is what we're doing. We're doing this because the country is in need. This is what God calls believers to do, to pray, to cry out to him. And that's what we need to do. So he put out the call. He told me that 50,000 people had signed up, so they didn't know what to expect. The night before, he said, we have no idea if anybody will come or nobody will come. So he said, we're not tied to numbers. A lot of times the reporters will say, oh, your event was a flop if you didn't have your numbers. He said, if 100 people show up, it'll be a success because we are here to pray. So the next day we arrived, there were well more than 50,000. There were at least 70,000, if not 100,000, out on the mall. And we went to the Lincoln Memorial. A complete surprise occurred. This was not intended. I went up to the platform area, and I was asked to offer a two-minute prayer, and it would be at the very first stop, which was the Lincoln Memorial, and I just had a T-shirt on and a pair of jeans. It was a beautiful 82-degree day, so I was up there, and all of a sudden, Secret Service came up to the platform and pushed us back and said, you have to get up on the steps, so we stood on the steps, and they created kind of a perimeter. And all of a sudden, this man with white hair was starting to bounce up the steps, and it was Vice President Pence and his wife. Now, the reason why I tell you this is because this takes remarkable courage. There was no vetting of the people. There was no cordoning off of anyone. As volatile as America is today, you just heard these calls to take the president's life with a bullet. Vice President Pence and his wife asked Franklin Graham if they could be a part of this effort. They are strong, committed, born-again believers in Jesus Christ. They want the prayer. They believe in prayer for our country. So they came up. It wasn't a big formal thing. Franklin Graham was there, and he asked Vice President Pence if he'd like to say a few words. He did, and he asked the Vice President, would you be willing to receive prayer? He said, of course, I would appreciate that. And then Franklin Graham asked myself if I would pray over the vice president. I went to the podium. I prayed over the vice president. He then asked Bishop Harry Jackson, who's an African-American pastor, if he would also pray over the vice president. He did. And then the vice president left, and then we began the march. To think of the courage it took for the vice president and his wife to go into a crowd that hasn't been vetted. He's on a platform. There were thousands of people above us on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. If some nut had a gun in his pants, he could have shot the vice president in that forum. But the vice president trusts in the name of the Lord our God. And everyone that was there is crying out desperately for our country, that our country would be turned toward God. The vice president did that, knowing the risk that he could be taking. He and his wife then left, and then we began the march, and it was simple. There was no music. There was nothing. We just started praying, and Franklin Graham said, every step we take, let it be a prayer. Pray and ask the Lord to give us the ground we're walking on, that the Lord would take back America for himself and for his praise and his glory And that's what the people did. They started walking. He said it will take maybe 2 hours or so. You could hear scripture. You could hear people singing. You could hear people praying. They were repenting of their sins, confessing their sins. They were crying out to God. I had a man come up to me and say, "Do you know Jesus?" He wanted to share Jesus with me. And there were street preachers all over the mall seeking anyone they could find to share Jesus with them. There were people there who had little portable microphones explaining that we are crying out for God's justice and saying that we repent of the sin of abortion in America and the 63 million yes. innocent lives that were lost. This went on for hours. It was the most beautiful, peaceful sight I ever saw.
Right.
And I had a driver, and the driver said that since coronavirus started, this is the first big gathering of people in Washington since it started. And it was a gathering of God's people coming together to praise him and repent of our sins. It was absolutely beautiful to see that. And the driver said to me, "This is kind of a different breed of people, if you know what I mean." And I said, "They certainly are. It's a different breed of people."
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. This is Jan Markell. I'm sure you've recognized the voice here of Michelle Bachman. She was with me last weekend for part one of this two-part series. And last weekend, we talked about some very sobering things, sobering this weekend as well, a little more upbeat, but last weekend, very sobering, about how the left is indeed trying to not only steal the election, but steal the country and turn it into a socialist, even Marxist enclave. We know it's heading to global government. We don't know when. We just know the Bible and Book of Revelation outlines global government going to happen at some point in time. And a lot of the movers and shakers in Washington and around the world, particularly Europe, are one-worlders. And I've given endless messages here on Understanding the Times Radio trying to explain just what global government is all about, what it would look like, how terribly ugly it is. And ultimately, the Antichrist will rule. A one-world system. Obviously, that's in the future. The church is absent when that is going to take place. So what we tried to do this week on Understanding the Times Radio is present what God is doing. Obviously, Satan is very busy, and that was outlined in last week's program, as much as you can in less than an hour. Satan is very busy trying to stir up and wreck the greatest country ever since certainly modern history. What I'm trying to do this hour is talk about what God is doing to push back and what believers are doing to push back. At the same time as Franklin Graham's event was going on, the event called The Return was happening, and that was at the same location, same time. So if you can imagine, as the enemy is trying to create complete chaos and has for months now, it's not just America. That's the thing, Michelle. What happened was when the violence broke out, starting in your hometown and in mine, I'm in Minneapolis, you're actually in St. Paul. But when the violence began May 25th and then spread throughout the country, frankly, it spread to Europe. It spread to Australia. It was like Satan was unleashed. But it started on Lake Street in Minneapolis.
It did. That was the spark that lit all of the violence around the world. It was more than just a natural event.
Oh, it's lawlessness. It's biblical lawlessness. But again, that gets exponential in the tribulation. This is just a run-up.
Yes, this is a foreshadowing of it. And we knew that there was a demonic element to all this. It was like the God of Hellfire was speaking out. That's why when you see something on that level that seems to have a spiritual component, you know that this is a war in the heavenly.
That's right.
And that there's another spiritual component, and that's the God component. He doesn't abandon us. He did not abandon America. This was a demonic spirit that was unleashed upon the earth of lawlessness and murder and rebellion and arson. And ultimately, if you look even at the symbol that's being used by Black Lives Matter and the anarchists, it is the raised, clenched fist.
That's right.
That takes us exactly back to Satan in the garden. The rebellious one, even before the garden, when Satan was in heaven and he rebelled against God because he wanted to elevate himself above God. And that is still happening to this day, the raised, clenched fist. This is not a positive symbol. This is a satanic symbol of rebellion. and we recognize what it is. And so the positive is that the church is waking up. We're looking at the church now returning to the things of God. All I can tell you is I wouldn't have been anywhere yes. else that weekend of September 26th because your conference intended to point believers toward the way of God. That didn't happen. But that weekend instead, it was really in God's time clock, a pivotal historic weekend because it's the weekend when believers from all 50 states and even including places from around the earth came here to D.C. for one purpose only, very simple purpose, to confess our sins, repent, and to say, Lord, it's out of control. This is beyond man.
Right.
We need you to repair this.
When I get back, I want to talk a little bit more about a fascinating story. It happened in Minnesota back in 1877. Are there some lessons for all across the land? I think so. It's an amazing story. I was not aware of it. I'm going to have Michelle share that story. I'm going to read a short proclamation by the then governor of Minnesota, Governor Pillsbury. And I think you're going to be amazed. You hear Michelle and me, and we don't have the kindest things to say about our home state. We're kind of encouraging people to get out of town as fast as you can and go to a safer location. But God really intervened in this state back in 1877. We'll tell you about that. We'll talk about some other things as well. Encourage you to hear part one of our programming from last weekend where we talked about the scheme, and it is a scheme, to steal the election on November the 3rd, and beyond that, to delay a decision until well into January, even February, in the courts. So it's very serious things going on behind the scenes of a dark nature, and just what can you do to get in the way of all of that? Find that programming at my website under radio, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Just go to radio and you'll find last week's programming. Hopefully you can find it on our YouTube channel. You can find it at oneplace.com. You can find it at his channel. And you can find it at Light Source. So those are some places you can hear our programming week after week. We know how busy you are, and sometimes it's easier to catch it at your leisure. I am coming back in just a minute or two. Don't go away.
We love getting your feedback. Write to us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Jan Markell and Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. More in a moment. Now that the leftist agenda in America is so clear, learn more about it from a man who has made an award-winning exposé of the communist plan to take down America. We have carried the two DVD set produced by Curtis Bowers, Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit, for years. Curtis is one of our most popular radio guests. He outlines the plan to infiltrate and take over America with an intricate Marxist plan targeting your kids, our schools, our seminaries, and more. But at the same time, we encourage you to read The Answer to This Dilemma, a new book by Dr. Robert Jeffress, Praying for America, 40 Inspiring Stories and Prayers for Our Nation. Find both products in our online store, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You can also sign up for our print magazine and find them offered in our year-end issue. Equip yourself to understand the times by tapping into our products, our website, our live online updates, and our weekly radio program. See how all the Bible predicted is coming to pass.
You can pray on the streets of your city. Pray in front of your church. Take your church back. Pray in front of your home. Pray in front of areas that have been desecrated. Ask the Lord to do this miracle in your city. He is the God of restoration. And so it just begins with each one of us.
We often present hard news and troubling information on Understanding the Times Radio. We've taken a break from that this week to let you know people are spending weeks ahead of our 2020 election in serious prayer and fasting. Here is more with Michelle Bachman and Jan Markell here on Understanding the Times Radio.
Today, at this Washington Prayer March, you continue a great American tradition. Since the founding of our nation, the American people and our leaders have gone to prayer in challenging times. George Washington prayed for the leaders and the people of our states what he called an earnest prayer, that God would hold them and our states in his holy protection. Abraham Lincoln, before whose monument we stand today, said during his time in the White House, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go." And President Donald Trump has observed many times that America is a nation of believers. And you prove that again today.
Welcome back. I'm wrapping up a two-week series with Michelle Bachman. She represented Minnesota's 6th District starting in 2007. She stepped down January of 2015. We're talking about some of the more uplifting things that took place in Washington here as we have a run-up to the election November 3rd. Campaign 2020 has been very intense, and it has been very ugly. That's not the whole story. There's actually a bright side to things that believers are stepping up to do. There's 50 days of blessing. We'll try to talk a little bit about that. It's an opportunity in Lafayette Park across from the White House. You can participate in that if you like. We spent the first part of part two of our programming talking about the event Franklin Graham put on that Michelle was a part of. That was back on September 26th. The return took place same day in Washington, D.C. Michelle was a part of that. We'll say a little bit more about that. What else can you do? Well, you can be a part of Family Research Council's Pray, Vote, Stand. I'm going to give you some websites. If you'd like to see the event by Franklin Graham, just visit the Billy Graham website, bgea.org. You can visit the website of The Return. That would be thereturn.org, thereturn.org, to see that event, which was more like a day and a half. Family Research Council. Michelle, what is the website of Family Research Council?
PrayVoteStand.org. And they actually have a show that they do every Wednesday night talking about the election. You can go to PrayVoteStand.org. It'll tell you what time in the area that you live in that it will come on. It's a live show. It's free. You get it on your computer, or your iPad, or on your phone. But then the other thing is you can pray. We have a live nationwide prayer time every Thursday at noon Eastern time. I lead that prayer call, and people can join us. That's free. And if you go to PrayVoteStand.org, you can sign up. And every Thursday between now and the election, we're praying together for our nation. We take a different topic that we pray through, and we'd love to have you a part of that as well.
And you are a part of the 50 Days of Blessing as well, because you're out there in Lafayette Park, at least certain days you are.
Yes, and the purpose of this is to have prayer for our nation through the election, and it's 24/7 prayer. There are believers standing in what's called Lafayette Park. It's on the side of the White House that has the big fountain, and we are in there. People are worshiping. They're standing there to pray for our country, pray for our president. So this is live, ongoing prayer between now and the election. Everyone is invited to come and join us. If you have a choir, bring your choir. If you want to come and sing, you can sing. Come on in. We're allowed to do this. It's unprecedented. We have a permit to be there through the election 24 hours a day to pray and to sing and to praise. I'm told that the White House knows we're there, and they're thrilled to know that believers are praying for them, for the White House, for our country. And we're doing this every day. Yesterday, I was out there probably 7 hours praying, and there are believers from all over. In fact, a believer from Minneapolis came in. Another one came in from North Dakota. They've been coming in from all over the country just to pray. But many people can't come in. Pray for as much as you possibly can. And this is something that you can do at home on your own time. But also, if you don't want to do that, I would encourage you to get together with a prayer group in your church, pray with them. Also, prayer walk. That's what we did in Washington, D.C. on the 26th. We pray walked in all of our most famous buildings here to take back our country. You can do the same thing in your town. You can pray on the streets of your city. Pray in front of your church. Take your church back. Pray in front of your home. Pray in front of areas that have been desecrated. Ask the Lord to do this miracle in your city. He is the God of restoration. And so it just begins with each one of us.
You were at the return. That activity was viewed by millions. That's the one I referred to where Jews saw it in Israel and said they want to have a day of prayer and repentance. American Christians actually made the Jews jealous. Well, that is our assignment, folks. That's what Romans 9, 10, 11 is all about. And President Trump sent a proclamation to folks at the return, and I'm going to read a portion of it anyway because I was very moved by it. He says, "On this inaugural National Day of Prayer and Return, the First Lady and I join millions of Christians here in the United States and around the world in prayer as we turn our hearts to our Lord and Savior." He says, "Our great nation was founded by men and women of deep and abiding faith, a faith that has stood the test of time. 400 years ago, early American settlers trusted their lives to his providence and braved a voyage to a new world. From the pilgrims who sought his protection aboard the Mayflower to the countless believers who today bow their heads to ask for his guidance during these unprecedented times, our country continues to turn to the Lord. Following in our ancestors' footsteps, we continue the firm reliance on the protection of divine providence that provides us enduring strength and reassurance in our times of need." And then he kind of concludes, "The trials and tribulations the American people have faced over the past several months have been great. Yet, as we have seen time and time again, the resolve of our citizenry, fortified by our faith in God, has guided us through these hardships and helped us to unite us as one nation under God. As we continue to combat the challenges ahead of us, we must remember the sage words of President George Washington, 'Propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. As a country and a people, let us renew our commitment to these abiding and timeless principles.'" And he concludes, "Today I am pleased to join my voice to yours in thanking God for blessing this nation with great power and responsibility. With reverence, humility, and thanksgiving, we beg for his continued guidance and protection." He did participate, Michelle, in the incredible day, and it was all day. It was actually a day and a half if you count some Friday night activity. We had literally in Washington raising their hands in prayer, Michelle Bachman, a couple hundred thousand likely back here in late September. We had tens of millions watching online, so many that, again, even in Israel, they said, "We want a day of prayer and repentance." You were there, so keep talking to us about the blessing that this was.
There were active text messages coming in from people from Israel while they were watching it. They were absolutely ecstatic because by that time they were going into Yom Kippur, their holiest day of the year. The pattern that we were following, there was the blowing of the shofar and the releasing of blessing. This was very different than maybe a lot of conferences that people go to because this was simple. It was just praying and confessing sin and turning back to God. And then people who went up on stage at the return, there was no self-promotion. There was no like introducing myself or introductions ahead of time. There was nothing like that. We had exact amount of seconds. We weren't even allowed to go 1 second over because they had so many people. And it was just person after person either giving a calling to repentance or prayer. In my case, it was prayer. So it was going out. And again, no attention to the speaker. You couldn't tell a joke. It was a solemn assembly that happened all day. And Friday night, I talked to one of the organizers. I saw him at the hotel on Sunday night after the event was over. He showed me his phone because I said, did people from Minnesota tune in? And he showed me Minnesota. There were all sorts of people and churches who did. There were millions of people who tuned in across the world on Friday night, and there was millions who tuned in on Saturday. This was absolutely thrilling because, again, the focus wasn't just America.
Right.
It was globally out to the world. We need to repent of our sins. We need to return to God. And that was the whole focus. That's why it was beautiful. It wasn't about a person. It wasn't about anybody's book. It was about returning to the Lord. And that was very clear. And Kevin told me that some people wanted to promote their book or a project they're working on. And he said, no, you can't. People who were insisting, he said, well, I'm sorry that you won't be joining us. Because they were very clear. This could be about no man. It could only be about God. That's why if people want to see the return for themselves, they could go to thereturn.org and watch the whole thing, or go to bgea.org and watch Franklin Graham's prayer march. The next day on Sunday at Museum of the Bible, just before Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year in the Jewish calendar, there was an all-day seminar for Christians at the Museum of the Bible on various issues dealing with the election. And it was really just getting the message out of repentance and of turning back to God.
I teased in the first part of the program here that we were going to relate a story that happened, and this is how we wind down our two-part series. Our program goes national, it goes international, actually. We've been focusing a little bit on what happens in the heartland here. Something happened back in 1877 that Michelle would like to talk about. It's a very unusual story. It begins kind of bleak, and it ends rather miraculously. And I think in light of what a struggle our times are right now, I think this would be a blessing for you to hear this story about what happened in Minnesota back in 1877. Also has to do with our governor back there, and talk about a difference in governors between then and now. Well, we'll stop there, but this was Governor Pillsbury back in 1877. What happened? Michelle, you take over, because it's a story I was not aware of.
The story that was related to me by George and Barbara Anderson of Minnesota, I had never heard it myself either, but they told me this story was actually printed in the Minneapolis Star Tribune newspaper in the early 1990s. And it talked about how in Minnesota in the 1850s, 1860s, 1870s, there was a plague of grasshoppers. And this happened in different places in the United States. We've heard of this in the Bible and happening across the world. But there was a plague, and the grasshoppers would come. In some cases, the grasshoppers would eat every green thing. They'd eat the bark off the tree.
That's
They'd eat
right.
clothing. In fact, they even ate a pair of cowboy boots.
Yes.
They ate everything in Minnesota. So the scourge continued. The eggs were laid again in 1876, and they knew that it was coming up again in spring, in April of 1877. And they saw that some of these eggs were starting to hatch again. And they saw that it could be so devastating that once again they would lose all of their work for the entire year when the crops began to come up. The people of Minnesota didn't know what to do, and they had talked to their clergy, and clergy had talked to the governor, John S. Pillsbury. So John S. Pillsbury made a courageous decision, and he decided that he would accept looking like he was foolish, and he issued a proclamation. On April 9th, he said, we will have a day of prayer, fasting, and humiliation before Almighty God on April 26th. And they did. It was an amazing proclamation that he wrote. He said, I invite the people on this day that's set apart to withdraw from ordinary pursuits and in their homes and places of worship with contrite hearts, beseech the mercy of God for the sins of the past and his blessing upon the worthier aims of the future. In the shadow of the locust plague, whose impending renewal threatens desolation of the land, does humbly invoke, for the efforts we make in our defense, the guidance of that hand, which alone is adequate to stay the pestilence that walketh in the darkness and the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Let us pray for deliverance from an affliction that robs the earth of her bounty in behalf of the sufferers. Let us plead for comfort for the sorrowful, healing for the sick, faith and love for all who are heavily laden. Let us therefore endeavor to deserve a new prosperity by a new realization of the opportunity vouchsafed us and a new consecration to those things which make for the well-being of man and the glory of God, signed Governor Pillsbury in Minnesota. So he set aside Thursday, April 26, 1877, That day came, and the businesses in Minnesota shut down. The churches were open. People stayed home and prayed. They went to church and prayed. But all business ceased in Minnesota that day. And then the nation watched. They'd heard about this to see what would happen. The very next day, on April 27th, 1877, the day started with a very bright sun. It was an unseasonably warm weather that April day in Minnesota. The temperatures became so high and the ground so warm that day the grasshopper eggs started to hatch. In fact, they even started to swarm to the top of the soil. And they worried that, in fact, it would even be a worse grasshopper plague than any they'd ever seen because the numbers looked like they were stronger when the larvae came up. But Minnesota people didn't give up hope. They had prayed. Something absolutely amazing happened. As quickly as that unseasonably warm weather came in, just as quickly it was replaced with an ice storm of great magnitude. The temperatures dropped so low where the day before they had been extremely high, so that the eggs in the ground that were in the process of hatching were frozen. It killed the insects inside, and in fact, even the larvae on the ground were frozen. They were drowned, and they were crushed. A lot of people didn't believe that this happened, but it happened. Mm. And in fact, this was called the Rocky Mountain locust. It became extinct after this, and it went all across America. Look what God had done. Not only did they not have a plague of locusts in Minnesota that year, they never had another one again. They'd experienced them for 30 years before, losing all of their crops. And after that, they never had another one again because the people in the state of Minnesota cried out to God. And that's why I believe when people of faith came to Washington, D.C. and turned fully to God on September 26th, I think something happened in our country. And I think it is for all of us to continue to do the same as this year progresses. We shouldn't be discouraged by any of this cheating and fraud and even the plague that's in our midst. We can rightly, after we confess our sins and repent and turn to God, then we can stand on the ground of 2 Chronicles 7:14 and say, Lord, we have turned from our wicked ways. Now will you heal our land? And we can boldly ask him to do that. And so I would say today, let us boldly ask God to remove the plague of coronavirus from our land and heal us, and remove the plague of coronavirus from Israel and heal Israel, and bring our earth back into order and peace under his authority.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, Jan Markell. You're hearing a familiar voice here of Michelle Bachman. We've covered a lot of territory in 2 weeks. Part one, again, find it on my website, olivetreeviews.org. That's probably the simplest place to find it. You find an audio and a video on our website under radio, olivetreeviews.org. Part two here, we've tried to take a upbeat position because some good things are going on. It goes beyond just sharing the efforts to bring down our country and bring down our president. Let me just ask you a real practical question, Michelle, because as we speak, the situation with the new Supreme Court nominee, who's going to be Justice Amy Coney Barrett, give me your thoughts on the new Supreme Court nominee and the fact that the court is going to be noticeably stacked towards a more conservative bent.
This is an answer to people's prayers. They have prayed for years that we would see an end to Roe versus Wade.
Yes.
And Amy Coney Barrett is a brilliant choice on the part of the president. I think of the three so far that he has nominated, I would put her first. Her judicial temperament and how she has ruled is more in line with the founding fathers and someone who is called a textualist.
Yes.
In other words, she believes the written word of the Constitution should be followed, that it is not for her to make law. Her position is to interpret the law as the founders decreed. She is very much in line with the Supreme Court justice she clerked for, Antonin Scalia. She will be the best pick on the Supreme Court. Without a shadow of a doubt, she is an individual that I know who part of his job is to vet all of the Supreme Court justices. He told me in his life he has never seen, as he went through all of her paperwork, a better justice than her. That is quite a statement. She's a young woman, 48 years old, mother of 7 children. People are now becoming acquainted with her. But I believe that it will be almost impossible for her not to pass through this gauntlet of getting confirmed. And I believe she'll actually be confirmed and on the court before the election occurs.
And that is wonderful news, particularly, as we said in the first program, if, in fact, the election gets thrown into the court, which is possible.
It's possible. But I think, again, we take nothing for granted. Mm-hmm. And I think in these perilous days that we're in, that's why I encourage everyone on this call to be in prayer and find someone that you can pray with regularly, maybe a prayer group at church or a Bible study or someone, but be intentional about praying on a regular basis. Like I said, join us here in person in Lafayette Park right by the White House, or go to prayvotestand.org. Pray with me on the phone every Thursday, or just prayer walk your city and pray for the country. Everyone can do that. And I think if we are praying into this election as the year began great and then quickly sunk, I think we could see coming out of 2020 in not bad shape. Mm-hmm. We could end this year well. We don't know what the sovereign hand of God will do, but we do know that our answer of what is required of us is to pray into this year and trust the Lord for the result.
Michelle, I have thought about this current year, and I'll be talking about here on air the top 10 Bible prophecy stories of 2020. Can't go into them here because time is running out, but we've seen the rise of lawlessness and anarchy. We've seen peace efforts in the Middle East. We've seen all these increasing attacks on Christians, on Christianity. Of course, we've had continuing apostasy. We've seen some pre-tribulation birth pangs. We've seen the rise of strong delusion. Well, how much more deluded can you get than wanting to abolish the police, for instance, or thinking that America is a racist nation, which is just delusional? We've had the longing for a savior. When we see everything in turmoil, people start longing for perhaps just one man who's going to come with a solution to all of this. Of course, we know that's going to be Jesus Christ. But before that, at the same time, there's going to be a man of lawlessness and evil, the Antichrist. The church will be gone when he comes on the scene. So we're looking for Jesus Christ, not Antichrist. And Michelle, I'm down here to a couple of minutes. You and I both love the prophetic word, watching how prophecy is being fulfilled on a daily basis. I'm sure you have observed how this is all speeding up as well.
It is. And I think one thing that we're seeing, you talked about this earlier, is that there is a provoking unto jealousy. Mm-hmm. And I am seeing this because as believers are more and more vocal and more tied to the Word of God and expressing that love and that joy that comes from a relationship of being free in Jesus Christ, people are waking up. They're noticing the difference. The Jewish people are waking up and noticing it, even in Israel. And people in the United States that don't have peace, they're recognizing it. So rather than being in a place of sadness about what is going on, this really is the time to look up because God's given us our solution. And this is a great time to witness. I saw it all over. And I mean, you don't see this every day in Washington, D.C., where you have people just saying, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And I saw it with my own eyes. This effort for evangelism. We prayed for salvation over the United States. And I think this is the time to shed any fears we have about witnessing to people. Just shed those fears and boldly and with great joy share the freedom in Jesus Christ that it can be theirs too. You may think, oh, I don't want to embarrass people. I don't want to bother people. You have no idea the people who want to hear this good news. And this is our privilege to be able to lead people to Christ in these days.
Michelle Bachman, thank you so much for all you're doing. You've delivered a word of warning that's in part one of our programming, which is last week, folks. I encourage you to go and tune in to part one of our program. Most convenient place is my website, olivetreeviews.org, and it was a word of warning. Some of the things that the left is trying to do to bring complete and utter destruction to our shores. And here in part two, the pushback in the heavenlies, and that's where it really matters because that's about the only place we can. This is a spiritual war going on. It's a battle in the heavenlies. again, Michelle, thank you for all you're doing, and all these opportunities that you've thrown out here are just wonderful. The organizations and efforts that are going on, thank you for being a part of them.
Oh, thank you so much, Jan, for having me on. I want people to know that believers are really turning to the Lord now in prayer. So thank you for joining us.
Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous." Will you let God lay a nation on your heart for the purpose of prayer? Doesn't have to be America. God wants to give us his passion for the world. It says in 1 Timothy 2, "I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. One day we will worship God around the throne in heaven with people from every tribe and tongue and nation," Revelation 5. "We will then realize the value of every prayer we prayed for a nation while we were on this side of heaven." I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
You are the healer, Jesus Redeemer.
You might want to consider watching our program on our website under Complete Archives, or on our YouTube channel, or on his channel, Christian Television. We hope we have encouraged you this hour. You encourage us when you write us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Jan Markell and Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. And we again remind you that God is in control. Nothing catches him by surprise. You are engraved on the palms of his hands, and everything is falling into place.